Okay, welcome to the Grace Hour today. It's a daily program that we're going to take a dive into the believer's daily challenges and discover helps to help us learn in a practical way. And my name is Pastor Gary Grunewald. This is my wife, Kathy Grunewald. Can you say hi?
Hi.
Okay, good job.
Thank you.
Just testing her voice to make sure we're going to be because what we're going to do today, we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be interacting with each other. So that's what the program is about, and it's about we're a married couple. We've been married 31 years?
Almost 31. 30 okay. and a half.
30 and a half, mm-hmm. And we have two children. They're married. We have one grandchild now, and so we've been missionaries, actually, together right after we were married. In 1992, we went to Ukraine. And then 5 years after that, we found ourselves in Germany for 12 years. And now we've been back in Baltimore for 12 years. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit about our lives. We live here in Baltimore, Maryland. We're part of the church here. And that's a little bit about our lives. So we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to probably talk about how we pray together, how we pray individually, how we have had prayer times in our life, like maybe what we do to arrange our day, how we cry out to God. What are you expecting today that we talk about, Kathy?
I think some of the powerful ways that God has worked in warfare and through praying in times that are incredibly random, but incredibly powerful. And you catch yourself praying and God comes in like a flood. And
hey, well, let's start deep.
Yeah.
Let's start deep. Let's start with
okay,
warfare. Let's talk with warfare. Now, you know, okay, let's start with warfare.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's a deep subject.
That's a great
so
subject.
Go ahead. Talk about that. Because you have some things that, you know, you've done in warfare. How you prayed in warfare.
Well, to any mothers out there with newborn children, there can be times postpartum blues. There can be attacks. You can be lonely as a mother. You can be, dragged down by details and very mundane details. And sometimes the devil comes in when there's a vulnerable one who is secluded at home with a small child, and it can be very interesting, very difficult, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a place that's a more intense attack than you ever thought possible. And
Go ahead and tell them a little bit about it, because I didn't actually know a lot about it when you were going through it. Mm. So this is something you kind of went through alone.
Yeah, right? I was alone a lot with twins, and Gary was working often. We had one car. And there was an attack on my life, my children, even maybe my husband, and it was fairly demonic. And I went through this for about maybe 6 months, almost a year. And one day I realized I couldn't fight it somehow. I was like under this incredible oppression. It was very demonic. And all of a sudden I realized I was folding baby clothes. One of the most powerful times of prayer I've ever had was while I was folding baby clothes. And I said, how dare you come against me? Do you know who I am? And I was talking directly to the atmosphere and these demons that were oppressing me and attacking me, and it was nonstop and it was constant. I said, do you know who I am? And I said, I started to confess my position in the heavenlies and who I am in Jesus Christ. And I said, I am hid with Christ inside of God. I am seated above in the heavenly places. I am seated at the right hand of God, hid with Christ inside of God. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. How dare you come and attack me? How dare you? How dare you? And I had had enough. And when I started to speak my position using the word of God as a sword, those demons fled so quickly, and it was over, and it was over, and it had gone on for a long time. It had gone on for many months, and I had had enough, and I said, how dare you? Do you know who I am? And one of the most powerful times of prayer, Again, I did it when I was riding my bike through the streets of Berlin. I said, how dare you attack me? But there was a supernatural attack against my life, my situation, everything. And I said, how dare you? And we come against the devil in these times of prayer, and they're incredibly random, but they are powerful when we understand how powerful using the Word of God as a weapon against the enemy. And it is a promise. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you do it when you're washing the dishes as a mom. You're doing it when you're folding baby clothes. You're sweeping the floor. You're vacuuming. It is takes you by surprise that those are really powerful times of prayer.
Yeah, I mean, that was really a time of, it was maybe going to be, it was a destructive attack from the enemy.
It was.
On people's well-being.
Yes.
And it was deep and dark. Mm-hmm. And it was really demonic. And I, as a husband, really wasn't aware that that was going on. And then to later learn, I saw some things in my wife, but she actually never really shared that with me. Mm-hmm. It was something that she went through next to me without me actually knowing it. I had times when I was in Ukraine, I was probably unaware of the struggles that my wife was going through. But you're speaking about warfare and prayer, and we're speaking about prayer today. Let's stay on warfare while we're there. The child of God has, he's intimate with God, and Satan sees that. Mm. And Satan hates the intimacy that a believer has with God, and he wants to disrupt it. Mm. And it could be anything from a temptation, a fleshly temptation, to lack of fulfillment. It could be an attack from others. But I remember actually in Germany also just the huge warfare that actually rendered me helpless and hopeless, and sitting on the side of my bed, or kneeling on the side of my bed, so I couldn't say anything, and literally immovable. Mm-hmm. And we had warfare like that, you can't say anything. You're just you can't physically move. You can't physically say anything. You just kind of have a sense of, I am surrounded by you, God. Like I think of Psalm 22 with Jesus Christ thinking his Father had forsaken him. Mm-hmm. But in verse 3, he calls his Father. You just know that God is fathering you, and you sense a covering in warfare and in prayer and in seeking God. There is, like, maybe the question was out there today, have you ever been not praying or not able to pray, and God is still faithful? Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the greatest prayers that, that we can have, is that, actually, let's read that. What does that say in Psalm 22? He says, that's what he says. It's like he's verse 22. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this is you on the side of your bed. This is Jesus Christ going to the cross. This is you helpless. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And you feel so distant. And this is a prayer of Christ. He feels so far from God. And then, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Like he continually prayed to God. He, like hoping, looking for a breakthrough in warfare, because demons come against us. And then look at his covering of thoughts. This is a prayer. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Like he had a request or a statement of praise of the nature of God, and this was what delivered him. And many times, I mean, also in Germany, I remember the same as you in the bicycle. Mm-hmm. I would come home from church at night, and there was so much atmosphere around. I would yell in the streets just over and above just to believe. I would yell physically, yell with my voice just to believe that I was reaching God. Mm. I would go out in the woods and I would yell because, you know, obviously you can pray in silent, but I would go out to a place where I could yell and people thought I was mad riding my bike home, but it was my prayer time. And I would yell out to God because the warfare was so intense. Mm. And I just wanted to have a sense of like I was talking to God and, you know, the world was all around me and I was just this weirdo, maybe like David acting like a crazy man. But I wanted to be that weirdo in the world, knowing that I was touching, touching God. That was, those were great prayers. Coming home on my bicycle at night. So maybe that's a little bit about warfare. Maybe we'll talk more about that. I can tell you, we'll go back to the lighter side maybe for a little bit. Mm-hmm. When we pray together, maybe it's not that often. And when I pray, it's a lullaby for my wife. She, when I start to pray, we start to pray together. If it's after 8 o'clock at night, it means my wife is going to go to sleep really quick. So if I ever want to go to sleep,
pray at the wrong time of day, honey.
Yeah, that's I pray problem. At the wrong time of day. So
you got a very soothing voice.
Yeah, that's what she always says.
Gosh.
So yeah, if we ever start praying at night, well, any time of day.
It's if our new granddaughter has trouble getting to sleep, just go and pray with her.
Well, it works for you. I don't know. Hopefully, it doesn't work with her. You're the only one that like yeah. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, go
hasn't
ahead.
There been a great thing recently with? Gratefulness and walking through your day, thanking God and being so thankful. And it's an ongoing, gratefulness that everything you look at, everything you think about, everything you see, experience, you're so grateful.
Yeah.
And it opens a door for it keeps a channel open of communication because you're communing with God all through the day. You're thanking Him personally and you have an open channel with God because of gratefulness. And when you thank God, it's personal. Yeah. And you're thanking a person. And then you mix in, and He brings people to mind. And you're driving down the street in your car and you're so grateful. And all of a sudden someone comes to mind and you start to pray for situations, for people. And I've noticed recently just such joy in my heart and contentment. Because gratefulness breeds happiness.
Yeah.
Gratefulness breeds contentment. And when you're thankful to God, you're just breathing in and breathing out. And it's like prayer becomes such a natural part of our day that we're walking through the day. You know, I am not a person who is on my knees in burdensome prayer for people. And I wish with all of my heart I could be that person. I do. But I'm always on my way somewhere and just praying as I go and I'm walking and I'm praying and I'm asking God for people, for situations. But gratefulness is such a beautiful thing.
Well, I mean, there has to be a preparation, right, of our communing with God, to talk to God in prayer and to listen.
Right.
And gratefulness is a way to start that communication. You know, God is gracious and you're starting to relate to Him. You're fellowshipping with Him. You're worshiping Him in your heart. Mm-hmm. And then you adjust from there, and then God starts to give you somebody maybe you have a burden for, right? Mm-hmm. But, it comes from gratefulness and thankfulness. Mm-hmm. Someone was asking me actually this weekend, you know, like something about prayer. And I actually said, like, how do you, like, you know, praying without ceasing, they asked. And I just said, the premise of our walk with God is blessing. I believe we're in a new covenant with God and God wants to bless our lives. I mean, that's the Sermon on the Mount. You know, He wanted to talk about a blessed life. And this should be actually normal for the Christian to think that they are the target, they are the object of who God wants to bless. And then correction becomes very easy. And this is actually fellowship with God and praying with God. It's like you're always willing to be corrected so you can stay in the blessing. And this is the Holy Spirit. It's like Luke chapter 11. Like, you know, if you ask for the filling of the Spirit, God wants to give it to you. Mm-hmm. I think that that should be one of our main prayers. Is like, I don't want to be filled with me. I don't want to communicate me. I don't want to fellowship with me. I've got too many needs and I've got too many wishes and wants, and that can't be. But I just want to be filled with the Spirit because I know He can do the thinking for me. And then when the Holy Spirit says, be corrected, you get corrected very, very quickly and joyfully because you want to be in that blessing. And I think like that's a way to actually pray without ceasing. I want to live in a blessing. Mm. And I can't say that. I can't do that. I have to recover. I can't live in unforgiveness. I can't hate. I can't live in a mood. Like, God, how do I get out of this? Mm. You know what I mean? As soon as you see, you know, some quenching of the Holy Spirit, you say, this is your prayer. How do I get out of this? What's your way out of this, God? Mm. And I think that's a prayer in our life, or it should be, because we're expecting blessing. I want to live in a blessing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Doesn't that spill out of us when we're in our daily walk, when we're so filled with that kind of Spirit and filled with that kind of communion with God? And for me, I have to talk about details because I'm a wife and a mom, and I run a home and a household, and I do the finances and all this. And in my daily routine of wherever I am, wherever I'm going, whatever I'm doing, I feel like the Spirit is like I'm a bucket that's so filled with water that the Holy Spirit is filling me and sloshing out, and anyone in my vicinity is being splashed with that life. Yeah. I always envision it that way. Like I'm walking, I'm a filled spirit, filled person. I've got this incredible vessel that I'm filled with, and it's so full, the Holy Spirit. And when you're in a store, you have a word for someone.
Yeah.
You have something to say to someone. You love people. You have compassion for people. You have a capacity to love people. And you're walking through a store and you're shopping. You're at the bank, you're at the post office, you're in line, and every person you come in contact with, you see value. They have value, and you want them to know how valuable they are. And even if you're an introvert and you're not, I'm a people person, I love people, it's easy for me to communicate with people. But the Holy Spirit can go above and beyond your capacity. Even if you're an introvert, you can look at someone and God will just give you a heart of fire, compassion of some sort for people, and you become sensitive.
Let's think of that like in terms of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't really prayer, in one sense, from the finished work of fullness with mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, you know, as you pray, as you see God's compassion, you're in a store, you're filled. It's from actually fullness.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually from completeness. It's actually in oneness with God is actually where there's communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
And in Jesus Christ, when he felt separated from God, you know, in Psalm 22, he knew he wasn't. He knew he wasn't. It's just like, restore back to me your thoughts, God.
Mm.
Give back to me your thoughts. Like, you know, our deepest supplications are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give back to me the joy of my salvation, mm. God. Like, you know, that's David's prayer mm. after sin. I want the fullness. I want to operate from fullness. You know, like, I believe that a man should be blessed, should walk in a blessing from God, where God goes above and beyond and give you his nature in a way that you did not expect or deserve. Mm-hmm. Like God wants to bless you. This is the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
We are a new creation. And so like, I think that's what you're saying. Like that's really the premise of prayer, isn't it? Of this daily walk in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, maybe you have like a lot of details, and like I may sit on my bed at night or lay in my bed at night and just like rehearse my previous that day and thinking about my next day. And I have noticed that it can actually create anxiety in me. And I start to like resolve issues naturally, and it creates anxiety in me. And recently I've been taking, I look at my day, my next day, and how can I do this? How can I actually do this? What's going on in my next day? And I ask God for help. And I know that I pray for it. And I say, God, I'm going to need help there. God, I'm not sufficient for that. And, you know, like confessing your insufficiency for something in a way that you're actually asking God for help in your life. Like, God, I need help for that. Like, I can't do the grace hour on Monday morning. God, you have to help me. I feel a sense of no sufficiency. So I think that's a way that I like to pray.
But isn't
God, help me.
It's a great way to be, though, that God knows that we're dust, and he says, let my strength be made perfect in your weakness. So we can come to him in our absolute weakness and say, I have no capacity for this. I got nothing. I've got nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm totally dependent on you. I've got nothing to offer. And then we watch God say, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for acknowledging that. You are weak
prayer.
And you are dust, and that's okay.
That's
you're
prayer.
Weak and you're dust, and it's okay. And you come to me, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And it is. And you walk in that inability, and all of a sudden you see God is backing you up, and he's got you, and he's doing the thing through you.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. And you walk away, and you're so quickened and so happy and so joyful because you saw God working and doing what he promised. That you're dust and I will be made strong in your weakness.
This isn't, I don't want this to sound impractical to the people that are listening, but that's actually, I think that we think a lot along those lines a lot. Mm-hmm. We've gotten ourselves into trouble doing something that is way beyond us and we need help. I mean, it may be like going over even to friend's house, you know, and your schedule is busy or something and you just may not feel adequate or like, you know, and it's like, God, how are we going to do this? You know what I mean? I just, you know, in Germany, not having food. God, how are we going to do this? Not having money. Do you know what I mean? And we literally would have to say, God, how are we going to do this? You know, the smallest details when you're weak become intimacy and prayer with God. And
that's right.
What's wrong with being weak?
That's right.
Like, why are we not supposed to be sufficient in ourselves?
Boy. I remember standing at the clothesline, hanging out clothes in Germany in the backyard. We didn't have a dryer for 12 years. And I would hang out my clothes in the spring when it was sunny and beautiful. And I remember standing there just saying, you know what, God, it's not my work here. And we don't have the money to stay. And we are just, it's not working. You know, it's not my problem. This is not my church. This is your church. This is your thing. And I'll go home tomorrow. It's up to you if you want to keep us here. I don't have a problem with either way, but I can't do this. It's not working. And the next day, a friend of ours called. She's an older lady. And she said, you know, I promised my cousin when he died that I would give a third of my inheritance to missions. And I'm sending you $6,000. And we were behind in everything. And that money paid every debt and more. And we had enough to go through into the future. And it was a direct answer to me out at the clothesline complaining to God. And the next day,
prayer.
God opened his hand and he just said, here you go. I mean, I just was real with God and said, hey, we're not making it. This isn't working. It's no big deal for me. If, you know, I don't know. I'd love to stay, but we're not making it. So you've got to do something. It's just real.
Isn't it great to complain to God knowing God's character? I think that is prayer. It's like you're really being honest about your complaint, what's going on, and you're actually talking to God about, you know, you bring it all out on the table, and it's like, he's like, tell me more.
Yeah.
Tell me more. Is it really
religious.
That bad?
It's not religious.
What's that?
It's not religious prayer.
What do you mean?
Oh, Father, we come to you now.
Yeah.
It's like dirt, down in the dirt.
Yeah,
kind of
it's like, and it's like, it's great to tell God your complaints. Yeah. Like, that's That's a form of prayer. Mm-hmm. Like, you're talking to God. Yeah, God knows you're, like, dusty, weaky, you know, frail-y. You know, he knows you're all of these different adjectives. Like, he knows that.
But that's what makes us great, is his strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, talk to him about strength. We can talk to him about our weaknesses,
absolutely,
right? Talk to him about our weaknesses, yeah, our frailties.
He wants us to. He's like, I'm waiting. Give me something hard. Like, really? That's it? Give me something really hard. Like, something, yeah, really impossible.
Yeah.
Give me something really hard.
Yeah.
God's the God of the impossible.
Yeah, we used to tease about, like, you know, throwing, like Elijah, you know, throwing water on the, you fire, know, on the fire, on the wood. Like, you know, like, hey, my
things
God,
got really hard.
Like, things are going to get worse. Hey, you just, like, your prayer is, hey, let it get worse.
God, is that all you got?
God is still going to be, throw some more water on there.
Bring
God
it on.
Is still going to light the fire, yeah, you know, and prove to the prophets of Baal, or yeah, prove to the world, to prove to yourself, to really to you, that he is God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, is there anything else you want to say about that? That's a, you know,
yeah,
the mission field, a lot about that. One of my greatest, like, memories of corporate prayer is actually here on the deck at 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm. I will always remember, this was 2 years ago now, but, you know, the group of people that came, and, you know, in the beginning we were wrapping ourselves with, you know, sweatshirts, and, you know, by the end of spring, summer was coming, and we were sitting out in shorts sweating, but, you know, in rain or whatever it was, you know, we were there praying for the summer harvest. And it was so many different, like, words of faith were given to me, mm, through other people's prayer. This is corporate prayer. Mm. You got to find corporate prayer. I tell all of the people, if you're starting a team, a mission team, you got to start corporate prayer, you know, with people, because they're going to receive something from God to give you wisdom in prayer. They're talking to God, and they're going to, like, speak to you, by them talking to God in corporate prayer. And that happened out, you know, I remember, you know, prayers that, Pastor Fred prayed, Pastor Armin prayed, Carol prayed, you know, Pastor Schaller prayed out there on the prayer deck. I remember these prayers. Joanne across the street, you know, she would come. And these prayers of encouragement. And then that summer, this is 2 years ago, and then that summer came with the summer life. And the attacks that came against, or like the needs, the attacks, the needs, the you know, the surprises, I felt like they were covered in prayer. Mm. So, you know, doing it together, praying together, you know, like sometimes, like, when I, like when we pray together, it's just great to hear, like, the other person's confidence. I hear your confidence towards God, you know, when you're praying. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then I get encouraged to start praying. I hear your confidence, you know, about the nature of God and how, you know, you're looking to God. And even sometimes, like, we've started to pray and, you know, it felt terrible when we started, you know, mm-hmm, like where are we starting from? Mm-hmm. Well, let's just start, you know, the situation, we don't know where to start. And we just start to pray, and all of a sudden we, you know, we're rehearsing the nature of God or mentioning the nature of God in our prayer. And then all of a sudden, you know, we didn't know where to start. And all of a sudden we're boldly asking God for things,
right,
you know, in prayer, right?
I love that, subject of expectation and in prayer. And I remember, I've mentioned this to many people many times, but with children when they're small, and it's never too late, but, you know, in your heart, in your mind, you take their little body in your hands, in your imagination, and you lift them up and you place them directly on God's lap, and you say, Lord, I commit my children to your keeping. And that is a prayer, a nightly prayer, that you're at your children's bedside, and you take that child and you lift them up in your heart, in your mind, and you put them on God's lap. And you take your hands off, and you back up, and you back away, and you don't take them back. You say, I commit my children to your keeping, Lord. I commit them to your keeping, and faithful is he to keep that which we commit to him. I don't know where that is, but it's a beautiful verse in the Bible that he's the faithful one. He does the keeping. Could there be a better keeper in the universe than God? I don't think so. He does the keeping because you did the one thing. You committed your children to his keeping, and then he takes care of the trillions of variables of a lifelong, an entire life. That is a prayer that you're praying nightly for your children. I commit them to you, and no matter how old they are, it's never too late. You can start right now. I commit my children to your keeping, Lord. I commit them. You take your hands off, and you let God do the keeping, and he is faithful.
Yeah, that's a visual prayer.
Yeah,
actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like I was saying, when I raised my voice, mm-hmm. and I felt like I was going above the atmospheres, mm-hmm. and I was directly talking to God. Mm-hmm. When I would yell in the forest of Berlin because one is I couldn't take it anymore, or yell on my bike because I was, I felt maybe so alone. Mm-hmm. And you're committing. You don't know how to commit, and you have a visual prayer. God, here I am, and you're mm-hmm. like Hannah offering up her child.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then you're asking God for wisdom after you commit them. You're asking God for wisdom. Some of my most beautiful times were after that attack at the beginning of my when my children were very small, I realized, wow, this child rearing thing is huge. And I started to pray and fast every Wednesday. And I'd be making food for the family, for the children. And I was fasting every Wednesday. And I would hit my knees when those hunger pains came.
Never ate on Fridays.
On Wednesdays. And I would pray and ask God for wisdom and ask for his guidance. And then I would get to church on Wednesday night. And I was so sharpened. I was so crisp and fresh and really sharpened in the spirit. And church took on a whole different, I don't know. Everything was just sharp, spiritually sharpened. And wow, in the middle of the night, God would give me these lightning bolts of wisdom, lightning bolts in the middle of the night because I had asked for it. And God was continually faithful to give me the wisdom I was asking him for when I was fasting on Wednesdays because I saw that spiritual warfare over my children. I said, this is way bigger than me. So I'm going to fast and pray. And it was amazing. And the wisdom that he gave me, I used to raise my children. And I never had a rolled eye. I never had any problems with my kids. And I had committed them. God showed me, commit them to me. And he gave me just wisdom on how to raise my children. We're all on the same team, going together, forward together. It's not me against you. You're on that side. I'm on this side. It was all of us together going forward. And that came. Those amazing drops of wisdom, and that your expectation is great. Yeah. My children are going to be amazing. That's your expectation, not, oh no, here come the tweens. Oh no, here it comes. Oh no, here it comes. Is that your expectation? You're expecting some negative situation?
Yeah. Let's say
what's your expectation?
Let's talk about prayer, child raising, but how does that relate to, all of our situations in
expectation.
Life? Expectation. Presenting our need to God, and literally presenting our need to God, and not allowing the devil to say, to lie about your future, and you could say somebody that's being tempted, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I could say, I'm not going to be tempted. God, I give you that temptation. I lay it on the altar right now. I give it to you. Mm-hmm. That temptation that's right there. I failed in it 100 times. I give it to you right now, God. There's an exchange in prayer happening right now. I have a need. Mm. And this other idea of prayer, of making your request known to God, we have not because we ask not. And this is deep. We have deep needs. Mm. We make them known to God. Doing sales, it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I hate this. You know what I mean? I would tell God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like my job. I just, why am I sitting in front of people? And I could be doing, why am I doing this? Why am I all alone out in Iowa? It's like you tell God these things. I hate this. I hate this God. And, you know, I used to tell my wife, you know, I hate this. And we'd make our needs known to God, you know, and there would come divine solutions. You know, my wife would, I remember the divine solution my wife told me about my job. You know what I mean? How I could like my job. You know what I mean? She gave me a divine solution because I made my request known to God. I told her, I told God I hate it. Come home the next morning. And it was like an expectation. How do I like it? Really? I want to like it. And it's amazing.
What did I tell you?
You told me to love people because you know how to love people. Just love people. And you gave me that, you know, that answer. And that's what I can do. I can actually love people. I don't have to love my job, but I can love people. And that's what I can do. And she gave me the answer. So making our requests known to God. If you have a spouse, like talk to them and then say, you know what I like to do is when someone tells me, you know, something, a problem that they're going through, and it's actually a request, I'm counseling them. I said, that was just your prayer. You just said a prayer to God. You were talking to me, but really you were speaking to God, and God is answering your prayer right now. Talk to someone about your request and say, and say at the end, do you think that was a prayer we just said to God? Do you think he heard that? You know, like, of course he heard that. You talk to someone. You know, you're honest. You're expecting a deliverance from God in James chapter 5. That's why you talk to someone about your problem. And that's an answer from God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talk about each other. You know, we talk about our problems, our needs. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I think, don't we?
Yeah. We expect, it's beautiful to have a lifelong expectation that God is faithful.
Yeah.
And he is, our expectation is from God.
Yeah, and it's not, and then when you get that answer to prayer, like you acknowledge it, that's from God. Kathy, that's from God. Can you believe this? This is from God. And you're like, I can't believe it. We got an answer from God. This is from God. I can't believe it. God, this is a blessing. I can't believe it. You know, you close your eyes and you're pinching yourself. Like, this is God. And it may be nothing to anybody else, but to a couple or to you. And it's like, and then this is back to our thing about gratefulness. Like we're living in this expectation that we're grateful to God. We're grateful to God. And so did you want to say something? Oh, we have something to say here? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. The verse before that you wanted was 1 Timothy 1:12 about our expectations being from God and his faithfulness. Okay. Yeah, is there anything else I got? I mean, this is incredible what we've talked about today, isn't it?
Yeah.
What else should we say about prayer here?
If you enjoy what we're saying, you can share this. You can share the show with people. You can tag the show and share it with someone you think might help. You know, if there's someone, you can share it. Many people need help with this area. We all do.
Yeah, we do. We do. Our personal prayer lives, you know, I think like if we could conclude it is very, it comes from fullness, comes from intimacy with God. It comes from needing God. It comes from seeing our lacking, our needs, and making our request known to God. So, yeah, I think that's what we can talk about today. This is great to be with you. Thank you. You did a good job today.
What would you like for dinner?
Well, it's Pastor Ronaldo's birthday today, so I'm going to have lunch with him.
Okay.
And we just want to thank you for joining us today. And don't forget to subscribe on the YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us next time. Could be tomorrow. Actually, it's tomorrow when we continue talking about another beautiful theme. Great to be with you today on the Grace Hour. And welcome to service here at Greater Grace, Moravia Park Drive.